and a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, obviously, yesterday's show a little bit different than normal, as the breaking news as we were on the air early live was, of course, President Donald Trump addressing the Israeli government yesterday as ahead of the official signing with nations, over 20 of them across the Middle East, on a major peace deal and on a major peace agreement. Aired that live, didn't really have a chance to jump into a whole lot of it, as of course we were listening to the words of the president, as I think we should have. More important to hear exactly what he is saying versus opinion or commentary on it. And so yesterday afternoon, or yesterday later in the morning, I was in on WBT radio for Vince Coakley, and I opened the show with the word historic. And that really, to me, is the only word that I can find and use to truly describe yesterday's events. And really, if you want to go further back, the events of the last, let's call it the last week or so, like last Monday, 8 days since we heard that Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner and others were in Egypt and the negotiations were continuing. The word to use, to me, is historic. This, not only did he, and I'm talking, when I'm talking about he, we're talking about, of course, the president of the United States, not only did he secure the release of those 20 still alive hostages, but he brought together 20 plus nations in the Middle East to sign on to this peace agreement, sign on to this peace deal to move the Middle East towards a period of time in which there is not as much fighting, not as much animosity between many of those nations. I mean, just look at this picture. I mean, this picture speaks, you know, you hear the picture speaks 1,000 words. This one speaks 1,000,000 words. You've got the president right in the center there, President Donald Trump, standing next to the president of Egypt, who hosted this this event yesterday in Egypt. Look at all the world leaders. I mean, there's 30 people there, plus all of them either leaders, princes, dignitaries, high up officials within their respective governments. Right in the top, Summit for Peace, Agreement to End the War in Gaza, October the 13th, 2025. And then below that, a big sign, Peace 2025, for those listening to the audio podcast. And if you want to see the picture yourself, it's on the president's, or maybe it's on the White House's Twitter account, where you can go and look that up. Yeah, it's at White House if you want to see the picture. They tweeted it around 3 o'clock yesterday on the 13th, yesterday afternoon. I'd encourage you to go look at that picture, to take in the image that is this. It's historic. Now, there's a couple of reasons why I think so many of these world leaders and so many of them from the Middle East were in attendance. We'll get into some of the details on that coming up. But what we didn't have a chance to hear live yesterday was the president speaking at the actual summit after the signing of the Gaza phase one of the Gaza peace deal. I'm not going to play all of it, but I do want to play just a couple of minutes of President Donald Trump and his comments yesterday afternoon. Well, yesterday afternoon, our time, yesterday evening, local time over in Egypt. Here's President Donald Trump.
This is the day that people across the region and around the world have been working, striving, hoping, and praying for. They have done things over the last month that I think were really unthinkable. Nobody thought this could happen. With the historic agreement we've just signed, those prayers of millions have finally been answered. As you know, the hostages have been returned. And further work goes on, having to do with the, sadly to say, bodies. Together, we've achieved what everybody said was impossible. At long last, we have peace in the Middle East. And it's
now I'm going to stop the president right there. And he mentions this point, and I think rightfully so. He brings up this comment and says, you know, what everybody said wasn't possible. And when he makes that comment, this is, to me, this is not the president bloviating. This is not the president stroking up his own ego. It has, folks, you don't have to be a world history buff or nut or expert to understand that factions within the Middle East have been at conflict for literally thousands of years. I mean, you don't have to have any educational background or even be a hardcore Middle East history buff to wrap your head around the concept and understand the basic principle that many nations within the Middle East, most of them very religious, a lot of different sects of religion that exist, have been at major, major conflict throughout thousands of years of world history. And so when the president says something that nobody thought could ever be done, it's a very accurate statement. This is not just bloviating and whatever from President Trump. For modern history, everybody's been talking about peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East, peace in the Middle East. The president, his team, Steve Witkoff, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, his Secretary of State and Marco Rubio, have brought the Middle East closer to any sort of lasting peace than we have seen probably in modern history. I think that's a fair assessment to break down what we witnessed yesterday and what we've witnessed over the last 7 or 8 days. Now, let me state this before we get back to more of the president. Does this guarantee peace? No. Does this guarantee that a nation won't act up and do something that throws at least part of this plan, tips it over on its head? No, it doesn't. Nothing is guaranteed in life. One of my favorite Trump clips, and I think this is earlier this year, some reporter in the Oval Office was asking him some stupid question, a bunch of what about it, what about this, what about that? And President said, what if a bomb drops on your head right now? I mean, and of course, the president's comment didn't make sense in terms of there was no chance of a bomb dropping on this reporter's head. But the point he's getting towards is you can always play whataboutism. You can always wonder, well, what if X country doesn't follow through? What if X nation doesn't do this? What if X nation doesn't do that? That's always going to be a risk. But I would argue from a position of strength and a position of leadership, you can't worry about those things. Do they need to be part of the equation? Do you need to have maybe contingency plans set up? Do you need to be prepared if somebody doesn't follow through? Absolutely. But you should not allow that to hinder what can only be described as a historic peace agreement in the Middle East. Is everything going to go to plan? No, I can almost guarantee you not. I can almost guarantee you that it is not going to go 100% to plan. But if you get 80% of the plan, 90% of the plan, it's a whole hell of a lot better than zero. Hell, you could even argue getting 30% of the plan is better than zero. So you're going to hear and probably see, and I've already glanced and seen a little bit of it this morning and the day after here from some cable news and some left-wing media outlets. They're, of course, already trying to throw some water on this fire and try and damp it out and say, oh, well, this might happen and that might happen. Yeah, there's always going to be that risk. There's always going to be that risk. That should not, A, kind of completely disqualify the entire announcement, and B, it shouldn't deter things from moving forward. Nothing in life is certain. Nothing in life is guaranteed. And when you're talking about getting between 20 and 30 nations together signing on to a peace deal, you can imagine there's going to be some kinks in the road. You can imagine that there's going to be some road bumps here or there. It's going to happen. The question is, are you in a position to deal with those issues when they arise, or are you going to allow those issues to steamroll the greater plan? If I've learned anything in my time of following, supporting, and watching Donald Trump, one thing he will not allow to take place will be the steamrolling of a greater plan by potentially a troublemaker nation or a troublemaker leader somewhere within the Middle East. That is not going to be allowed to stand. So here's more from the president in Egypt yesterday.
In the Middle East, and we've heard it for many years, but nobody thought it could ever get there, and now we're there. I want to congratulate everybody sitting in these first few rows and standing behind me. I don't know why they chose to stand, but I promise I'll make it short, okay? We are not going to keep you standing for long. These are great leaders. After years of suffering and bloodshed, the war in Gaza is over. Humanitarian aid is now pouring in, including hundreds of truckloads of food, medical equipment, and other supplies, much of it paid for by people in this room. Civilians are returning to their homes. The hostages are reuniting. I mean, it's beautiful. I'm just watching it backstage. The level of love and sorrow, I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing when you see they haven't seen their mother, their father. They haven't seen them in such a long time, and they lived in a tunnel, a very little tunnel, very deep. And the level of love is just incredible. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's, in one sense, it's so horrible that it could have taken place, but in another sense, it's so beautiful to see a new and beautiful day is rising, and now the rebuilding begins. The rebuilding is maybe going to be the easiest part. I think we've done a lot of the hardest part, because the rest comes together. We all know how to rebuild, and we know how to build better than anybody in the world. I want to express my tremendous gratitude to the Arab and Muslim nations who helped make this incredible breakthrough possible. And you really did. To President El-Sisi of Egypt, who is so generously hosting us today. And I want to thank you for the outstanding job your country is doing in so many different ways and for helping us so much with this peace agreement.
I'm going to pause the president one more time here. I'll probably pause him again. One of the things that I've always found frustrating in the discussion of what is going on in the Middle East is that there has been a lack of policing in the Middle East of the Middle East. Let me make sure I explain it in a way that makes sense. There's, as has been well stated and is well documented and is well understood, there is for a long period of time been significant amount of conflict within the Middle East. And one of the things that I've always found frustrating is that there is very little policing within their own geographical region. You've got these countries, some of which are so unimaginably wealthy, right? You look at the UAE, you look at countries like Egypt and others throughout the Middle East that have literal liquid gold under their feet, which of course is oil. They are so incredibly wealthy. Some of the princes, the Saudi princes, some of the princes in the UAE. I mean, these individuals have billions of dollars, literally billions upon billions of dollars. They are so incredibly wealthy. And there has been an unwillingness to police their neighbors. There's been an unwillingness to show up as a leader in the nation, which they are, or leader in the region, which they are, not only from a wealth standpoint, but from a military standpoint. You look at Qatar, I mean, the incredible military stuff ongoing over there. They have the ability to police their neighbors. And for a significant period of time, that has not taken place. And that has dragged in countries like the United States, countries throughout Europe and elsewhere to do some of that policing in the Middle East. And I don't think it should be that way. I mean, if you've got a conflict ongoing in your area of the world and you are a strong nation, you're a wealthy nation, you're a prosperous nation, you're a strong and powerful nation, you, I think, have an obligation to step in and do something about it. And for the longest period of time, that has not happened. So the United States has been has been an incredibly frustrating thing for many folks to see USA World Police rolling up throughout the rest of the world trying to get some of these countries, some of these dictators, some of these leaders in line. It is beyond time that countries that are strong, countries that are stable and secure, throughout which there are plenty within the Middle East, it's time for them to step up. And I think this peace agreement and this peace deal is going to put some of the onus on those nations to do exactly that. And that is a major win, not only for the United States, but for the rest of the world, who now hopefully will have less vested interest and have less resources being poured into an area of the world that, if we're being perfectly honest, has very little impact on the United States. I mean, when you talk about, you know, America first, when you talk about MAGA, the emphasis and the importance is on what is going on domestically. We have a litany of issues that we have to deal with in our own nation. We have a litany of issues that we have to deal with domestically that have an impact on your and my day-to-day lives. And it is unfortunate that so much time, money, and resource is spent policing the Middle East when you've got major countries, and I'm just going to be frank about it, like Qatar, like UAE, like the like Egypt and many others that just kind of sit by the wayside. It's happening literally right next door to them, and they're just twiddling their thumbs. Just, oh, yeah, bad things are happening over in whatever freaking country we're talking about. Yeah. It's incredibly frustrating. More from the president yesterday in Egypt.
I also want to thank the president for the escort of six fighter jets. So we looked out the window. We said, I hope they're friendly. And they turned out to be very friendly. But we had three on each side, and they are beauties right out of the great, really American manufacturing hub. We make the greatest military equipment in the world. We have the strongest military in the world by far. And I knew exactly what those planes were, and I knew exactly how much you paid for those planes, too. You paid a lot, but you got a pretty good deal, and they are great planes, and we just appreciate it. That was quite an escort in. That was very impressive. But Air Force One was covered with Egyptian desert just a few months ago. If you think about it, just a few months ago, it was Egyptian desert, and now it was just a few feet off our window. And it was a spectacular sight, and I appreciate it very much. Really, that was pretty good. You got our people by surprise. I don't know if they were thrilled right at the beginning, but they were thrilled as we sailed along very, very calmly and safely. And I'm deeply honored to receive from you, Egypt's highest state honor, the Order of the Nile. The Nile is so beautiful, so magnificent. It's such a beautiful title, the Order of the Nile. Thank you very much, Mr. President. Appreciate it. Great honor. I also want to give a very special thanks to the Emir of Qatar, a man who's outstanding. He's been a friend of mine for a long time, long before politics, and he's a fantastically respected man. His Highness Sheikh Tamim is respected by everybody. He's respected by everybody, and in the most positive way, not only because of power, because of his heart. He's got a tremendous heart, and he's a great leader, and his country loves him. Thank you very much for being here. It's an honor. Let me also express our condolences to the Qataris on the tragic car crash that claimed the lives of your cherished diplomats, some of whom were known by our people, and they were supposed to be incredible people. So please extend our sorrow and best wishes. That was tough. That was really tough. On this extraordinary occasion, I also want to give our sincere thanks to President Erdogan of Turkey. He's always there when I need him. He's such a tough guy. He is tough as you can be, but we love him. And when they have a problem with you, they always call me to handle it. And usually I come through. We just have a good relationship, but we have from the beginning. And so I want to thank you very much and say hello to your wife, your beautiful wife. And it's great to be with you. Always there. When I need him, he's always there. Thank you very much, Mr. President. And I also want to thank, I just spoke to him on the phone, His Royal Highness Crown Prince Mohammed, Saudi Arabia, special friend of mine. He's come so long and so far, and he's doing a fantastic job for his country. And I want to just thank him. And His Highness Sheikh Mohammed of the United Arab Emirates is here. Where? He's here someplace. Well, oh, he's not here. but he's here in spirit, I can tell you that. And he's been another one. He's been absolutely incredible, and we appreciate it very much. And His Majesty King Abdullah of Jordan, and thank you very much, King Abdul of Jordan. He's here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And you really have been a great helper. We appreciate it. Appreciate it. Prime Minister Sharif of Pakistan, and also, I have to say, my favorite field marshal from Pakistan, who's not here, but the Prime Minister is here, and you're going to give his regards. Where are you? There you go. Thank you very much. Do you want to say what you said to me the other day? And the, come. Would you like to say what you said the other day? I think it was so nice. Please.
Thank you very much, my dear President Trump. My dear brother, President Fadil Sisi of Egypt. Majesties, Highnesses, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, Assalamu alaikum, and a very good evening. Well, I would say today is one of the greatest days in contemporary history, because peace has been achieved after untiring efforts led by President Trump, who is genuinely a man of peace, who has relentlessly and untiringly worked throughout these months, day in and day out, to make this world a place to live with peace and prosperity. I would say that Pakistan had nominated President Donald Trump for Nobel Peace Prize for his outstanding, extraordinary contributions to first stop war between India and Pakistan, and then achieve ceasefire along with his very wonderful team. And today, again, I would like to nominate this great president for Nobel Peace Prize, because I genuinely feel that he is the most genuine and most wonderful candidate for Peace Prize, because he has brought not only peace in South Asia, saved millions of people, their lives. And today, here in Sharm el-Sheikh, achieving peace in Gaza is saving millions of lives in the Middle East. Mr. President, I would like to salute you for your exemplary leadership, visionary leadership, and I think that you are the man this world needed most at this point in time. World would always remember you as a man who did everything, went out of the way to stop 7 and today 8 wars. I would like to thank my very dear brother, Sheikh Tamim. He's Akh al-Shakik.
So let's just assume that Trump and his team know nothing about what's going on. Let's just assume Trump is lying about everything. This is not really a historic thing, and I'm sure that's how some on the left are playing it. It's not historic at all. When the Prime Minister of Pakistan, who is absolutely in the thick, in the middle of, and has been for some significant period of time, a variety of different conflicts within the Middle East, when he says this is a historic day in modern history, we should probably give some light to that comment. We should probably look at what he is saying and give it some level of credence and some level of credibility. And it's not just the Prime Minister of Pakistan, who you were just listening to and is speaking on stage right now, or was speaking on stage in Egypt, not just him, but you heard from numerous other individuals, including the Prime Minister of Israel, the President of Israel, the opposition leader in Israel, all saying the same and or similar things as it relates to the major deal that was made by the Trump administration. And so this, if you are not of the mindset that this isn't historic, if you are of the mindset that this is nothing more than window dressing and gaslighting the world, and no, there's nothing, there's no teeth to this, there's nothing that's actually going to come of it, again, don't believe Trump, don't believe Netanyahu, don't believe anybody, believe the Prime Minister of Pakistan. Here's more from the president.
Nothing more I have to say. Goodbye, everybody. That was really beautiful and beautifully delivered. Wow. Thank you very much. Also with us is President Prabowo, a very incredible man, of Indonesia. President, come on. Great job. President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority. See, we have them all. We have them all. Good. Great. Good to have you. And so many others. I have a list here. This first three rows and what's standing behind me, I don't know why they chose to stand, but that's there. They're going to be very famous tomorrow. We have the Arab League is represented by His Excellency, and thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much. We have Armenia. Oh. And Azerbaijan, that's a little war that we stopped. That's a little war. There they are. Look at them. They're sitting. When I met with them, it was in the Oval Office. They fought for like 31 years or some crazy number. And they had one sitting on that side of the Oval Office, one sitting. By the time we finished in 1 hour, they were both hugging each other. And now they're friends and they're getting along great. Look at it. So I want to thank you both. That's incredible. Really incredible. So you have Armenia and you have Bahrain, you have Canada. It's so great to have, in fact, the president called and he wanted to know if it's worthwhile. He knew exactly what it was. He knew the importance. Where's Canada, by the way? Where are you? Where are you? He knew the importance of this. He said, I want to be there. So many people have done that. They called. I mean, they heard about it. And these are not people that can do that very easily. They have pretty big schedules, to put it mildly. The most powerful people. And I appreciate you being here very much, Mr. President. Fantastic. Fantastic. And Cyprus, Egypt, the European Union, it's a lot of countries. France, thank you very much, Emmanuel. I would imagine Emmanuel standing someplace behind me. Where is he? I can't believe it. You're taking a low-key approach today. He's my friend. That's great. Good job. Thank you very much, Emmanuel. Germany, the new chancellor of Germany, he's easy to spot because he's very tall. And he's very smart, and he's doing a fantastic job for his country. Appreciate it very much. And congratulations, a big election. That was a big one that was going to change things. Greece, we have Greece. We have Hungary. Oh, Victor, where is Victor? Victor, Victor, we love Victor. Victor, I call him. You know, I put the little accent on it. You are fantastic, all right? I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but I'm the only one that matters. You are fantastic. He's a great leader. I endorsed him the last election he had, and he won by 28 points. So you're going to do even better this time. If you have another election, and you're going to do great, and we appreciate it, and we're behind you 100%. That's Hungary. India is a great country with a very good friend of mine at the top, and he's just done a fantastic job, and I think that Pakistan and India are going to live very nicely together, right? That's not a very... They are. And they're two great, I'd say, leaders, the great leaders, as far as I'm concerned. Indonesia, we covered, and I just want to say that that's a big country, a powerful country. It does unbelievably well, and it's great to have you. Iraq, we have Iraq with lots of oil. They have so much oil, they don't know what to do with it. That's a big problem when you have so much, you have no idea what to do with it. So thank you very much for, thank you very much. Italy, we have a woman, a young woman who's, I'm not allowed to say it because usually it's the end of your political career if you say it. She's a beautiful young woman. Now, if you use the word beautiful in the United States about a woman, that's the end of your political career, but I'll take my chances. Where is she? There she is. You don't mind being called beautiful, right? Because you are. Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it. She wanted to be here, and she's incredible, and they really respect her in Italy. She's a very successful politician. We have Norway. Oh, Norway. Oh, yeah, 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 Norway. What happened, Norway? What happened? Where's Norway? Where is he? We have Johnny. We're going to the World Cup. I can tell you that. Where's Norway? I don't think he wants to stand. Oh, he's back there. Well, we have Norway. Oman, again. We have Paraguay. We have really fantastic representative from Saudi Arabia. Thank you very much. I'll tell you what, and this time we'll get you the best seat. He always gets the best seat. He deserves the best seat. But what a great place it is. Spain. Where's Spain? Are you guys working on him with respect to the GDP? We'll get close. We'll get close. But fantastic job you're doing. And UAE, which is great. United Kingdom. Where's United Kingdom? Where's our friend? Where? Come here. Is everything going good?
Very good.
That's very nice of you here. These people all came in like 20-minute notice. And I think it's fantastic. And we have so many others, and just so many others. And
so I'm going to pause the president right there. And some of you might be rolling your eyes saying, Nick, why the hell are you playing this? Like, there's nothing newsworthy here. This is not really any sort of interesting commentary. Like, there's got to be something better that you could be playing or doing. I understand maybe your concern, your commentary on what is going on. I play that for one reason and one reason only. It proves, and I think really exemplifies, the incredible amount of respect that President Donald Trump has across the globe. You, and the president, of course, jokes that these individuals had, 20-minute notice. But if we're being perfectly honest about it, the president of Canada doesn't need to be in Egypt for a Gaza peace signing, an agreement that was made by President Trump, Egypt, and countries throughout the Middle East. There's very little vested interest for Canada to be there. And so you ask yourself, why? Why is Canada there? Tell me the relevance. What exactly does something like that mean? I think it proves that there is so much respect for the United States, and it is understood that Donald Trump and the work that he does, not only for the country, but for the world, cannot and should not be understated. There is a reason that all of these world leaders rushed to this event. There is a reason that all of these nations, some of which have not had the best relationship, the president talked about India and Pakistan. I mean, they've been in conflict for I don't even know how long. There's a reason that all of them rushed to be at this event. And it's because of the respect of President Donald Trump and the fact that they understand that if they are not involved in what's going on, if they are not part of the solution, that the president is going to be very clear in making it obvious to them that, in fact, they are part of the problem. And that absolutely needs to be the track when you look at what is going on and a variety of geopolitical issues that exist throughout the world. So the president would then go on to deliver a couple of closing remarks. We'll play those, and he gets into some more, enough of the thank yous and a little bit more of that, but then getting into some more details on this historic day that was in the Middle East yesterday. We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Before that, I do want to thank the individuals that support the Nick Craig Show and make it possible. Those folks supporting over at patreon.com/Nick Craig, $5, $10 a month, a very small amount to financially support the show and keep us on the air here weekday mornings live. And of course, via your favorite podcast app, patreon.com/Nick Craig. You get access to daily show notes and a monthly Zoom chat. We'll have one of those coming up here in the next couple of weeks. All of that available over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig. We will get a quick word from Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell, who is running for re-election. Early voting begins coming up here later this week. We'll, of course, keep you up to date with everything as it relates to early voting. But first, a word from Wilmington City Councilman Luke Waddell, and the Nick Craig Show will roll on after this. Streaming live at 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Luke Waddell, and I'm running for re-election to Wilmington City Council. 4 years ago, I promised strong, principled leadership. Leadership focused on public safety, infrastructure, and fiscal responsibility. I have worked every day to deliver on that promise, voting against unnecessary tax increases and wasteful spending while strongly supporting our police and fire departments. I'm ready to continue working for you. Please go to the polls and vote Luke Waddell for Wilmington City Council. Thank you.
Paid for by committee to elect Luke Waddell.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning as we continue our recap of a busy day yesterday internationally, as President Donald Trump has officially been successful in brokering at least portions of a phase of a peace agreement throughout a variety of nations in the Middle East. The president speaking in Egypt yesterday. Some more of his commentary as he wrapped up his comments.
It's such a compliment to what we're doing, because what we've done is something very unique and very special. So it's perhaps the wealthiest and most powerful group of nations ever assembled at one time, which is a big thing. We have achieved together in recent days a change that really is historic, and it's going to be remembered forever. And I want to thank the American team for their amazing work, and I want to thank I think he'll go down as the greatest Secretary of State in the history of our country. I really believe that, Marco, or I wouldn't say it. Marco Rubio, I wouldn't say it. Yeah, maybe I would. You're doing a great job. I'll tell you, he's on course to do it. We've done a lot of work in 9 months. We've done a lot of work. I say that, you know, 1 year ago, a little more, but 1 year ago, America, the United States of America was in, I say it was a dead country. The king told me, and I use that, he said, sir, 1 year ago it was a dead country. Today you have the hottest country anywhere in the world, and it is. It's the hottest country. So many investors are here. We have over $17 trillion being invested in the United States, which is a record that nobody has ever beaten. I don't think anybody will. And we still have 4 months to go before it's a year, so. So in 8 months, we have over $17 trillion. We're actually very close to $18 trillion. There's never been, as an example, the previous administration had less than $1 trillion over 4 years. We have, we're close to breaking $18 trillion in 8 months. That's pretty amazing. No country's ever done that. I want to also thank Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and my son-in-law and a great guy, Jared Kushner. And I even have my daughter here, Ivanka. Ivanka, please stand up. Ivanka's here. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Ivanka. We have a great team, and we have, as you know, General Raisin Kane. We have John Ratcliffe. We have Tom Barrack. We have really a lot of good talent. We have Pete Hegseth, who's now Department of War as opposed to Department of Defense. We made a little change Somehow I like the name better, so do you, so do a lot of people. But the momentous breakthrough that we're here to celebrate tonight is more than the end of the war in Gaza. It's with God's help, it'll be the new beginning for an entire beautiful Middle East. From this moment forward, we can build a region that's strong and stable and prosperous and united in rejecting the path of terror once and for all. We want to get rid of the terror and get on to other things. There are many other things in life that are so good. The final sprint to this deal began less than 3 weeks ago on the sidelines of the United Nations in New York. I met with many of the people in this room, and it all just started coming together. I've known so many of you for so long. You're friends of mine. You're great people. I have a couple I don't like in particular, but I won't tell you who. I have actually a few of them I don't like at all, but you'll never find out who they are. Well, maybe you will, come to think of it. But I have most of you who I like a lot, and I respect a lot. Maybe that's more important. We listened, and we exchanged ideas, and we kept pushing forward until the job was done. And the first steps to peace are always the hardest. And today, we've taken them, and we've put them all together, and we've come up with this beautiful mix like nobody thought was possible. And as you know, I've just come from Israel. It was an amazing day to watch the hostages come in and to watch all of the other things and do all of the other things that we did. And like all of us here this evening, the Israeli people are overjoyed that the war has ended. Many of you have had dancing in the streets. They had dancing in the streets. And they've been dancing for weeks now once they heard about this and they heard that it was even a possibility. They're elated at the arrival of the hostages and excited to begin this new chapter for the entire region, and it's going to be that. And they are going to be great partners, and I hope everybody's going to join the Abraham Accord. I like to say the Avraham. I love Avraham, but somehow it doesn't sound as good when I say it as it does when some of my other friends say it who are from the region. But we're going to get a lot of people joining the Abraham Accords. We have the four great nations that did it early on, and they stayed with it. And then you had the Biden administration, which is the worst administration in the history of our country. And obviously, they did nothing on that and anything else. And so it stayed at four. And now a lot of people, even today, they're talking about all joining up. So many people have talked to me about that. And it's going to be a great tribute to really the United States. I mean, the United States has worked very hard in the Middle East. So it would be a tribute to us and to Jared and to Steve and to all of the people, Marco, all of the people that have worked so hard on that. And it really is going to bring, it's going to guarantee that it all stays together. You're going to do well, because the four nations do very well. I mean, they do extremely, as they're wealthy, but they're a lot wealthier because of it. So I hope everybody's now joining up. Now we have no excuses. We don't have a Gaza, and we don't have an Iran as an excuse. That was a good excuse, but we don't have that anymore. All the momentum now is toward a great, glorious, and lasting peace. And our commitment to fulfilling the 20-point plan we developed together will be the crucial foundation for achieving that bright future. And it's being worked on right now as we speak. And we're actually in stage 3 and 4. It's not going to be, you know, just divided down so simply. We can be long advanced on some of the things that we say we're going to do. We can take them out of order in a positive way. And we've shown how it can be done with responsible nations like the people in this room, these incredible people in this room, setting aside their differences, seeking common ground, and pursuing a better world for all of us. And that spirit's my dream, that we all get together and enjoy our life. And we're going to put some of you on the Board of Peace. Everybody wants to be on the Board of Peace. They said, would you be the chairman? I said, I'm pretty busy, too. But whatever we can do to have peace in the Middle East, it's worth it. But everybody wants to go on the Board of Peace, so we're probably going to enlarge it. We're going to get, and the leaders, the top people, the top leaders, they want to be on the Board of Peace. A beautiful term. At first, I wasn't sure, and then I realized how beautiful it is. And for the people of Gaza, the focus now must be on restoring the basics of a good life. We're going to have a lot of money coming into Gaza and a lot of rebuilding and building. It's not so much rebuilding, it's really building, cleaning up and building. And I'm pleased to announce that numerous countries of great wealth and power and dignity have come forward to me just today and over the last week to say they want to help in the reconstruction of Gaza, putting up whatever money is necessary. And the money is, of course, it's a lot of money, but it's not much compared to the value or the wealth of these tremendous countries. And they are.
Listen to what the president just said there. Really dig in, analyze what he just said. Right? He's talking about many of these world leaders, many of them countries within the Middle East, coming to the president over the last couple of days and weeks and saying, you know, they're willing to do whatever to rebuild or build Gaza. And you notice how the president tags in there. For these nations, it is not a lot of money. It is a small amount of money. But this is the kind of negotiation and deal making that you get with somebody like President Donald Trump. These countries are filthy freaking rich. They have got literal unlimited amounts of money with the natural resources that sit under their feet. And there's no question about it. It is those nations within the Middle East that should be the ones that are footing the vast majority of the bill for the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip. Not the United States, which, as you know, when the United States is involved in something, we're the ones pulling the vast majority of the weight, putting the vast majority of the money, the vast majority of the resources. That is now changing under Donald Trump. He is forcing these nations to pony up. And that makes the United States not only stronger, but wealthier. And it's not like you're asking some poor old nation to drain their bank accounts to help in the problem here. These countries have more money than they know what to do with. And they're going to be the ones ponying ponying up the money, footing the bill for a lot of this reconstruction. That is a major win for the United States.
Are ensuring stability and success in the Middle East. So when you think about it, it's a very, very small amount of money is necessary, relatively speaking. And as those commitments are made, I'm going to let the world know who is doing it, because they really deserve great credit for doing it. And they're going to do something that's really monumental. This is a monumental day. This is a monumental moment in the history of the world beyond the Middle East. We've all agreed that supporting Gaza must be done to lift up the people themselves, but we don't want to fund anything having to do with the bloodshed, hatred, or terror, as has happened in the past. And for the same reason, we're also agreed that Gaza's reconstruction requires that it be demilitarized and that a new, honest civilian police force must be allowed to create a safe condition for the people in Gaza. As I said earlier, I intend to be a partner in securing a better future. We're going to be working. You're going to be working with the United States, and we're going to make sure that the Middle East is going to be a safe and secure place. It's a very important place in the world. It means so much. There were so many people who said the Middle East, and this has been going for many, many decades. I've read it many times that World War III will begin in the Middle East. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. There was a time that you would have thought it could have, but it's not going to happen. There won't be World War III, hopefully at all, but it's not going to start in the Middle East. We're not going to have a World War III if we're smart. It'll never be a World War III. Our work begins right here and right now. From ancient times, this region has been extraordinarily mixed with respect to people, culture, religions, all of the different elements of national characters, unlike maybe anywhere else on Earth. And for 3,000 years, there's been conflict for whatever reason. There's been tremendous conflict, always conflict. But today, for the first time anyone can remember, we have a once-in-a-lifetime chance to put the old feuds and bitter hatreds behind us. And that's why so many people in this room, they didn't get along. Some did, some didn't, but they're getting along now. This has brought the people together. This is the first time the Middle East crisis has brought people together as opposed to driving them apart. And to declare that our future will not be ruled by the fights of the generations past, which is foolish. So together, let us continue in the spirit of cooperation and goodwill that has finally brought us to this incredible, historic breakthrough. If we do together, we will reach the Middle East's incredible destiny, a safe and prosperous and beautiful crossroads of culture and commerce, faith in humanity, and geographic center. This will be the geographic center of the world. So I just want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank you all for what you've done and for this quick notice. It all came together just at one little period. It just came together. It's the greatest deals happen that way. If you do anything about deals, that's all I've done all my life is deals. The greatest deals just sort of happen.
So there's President Donald Trump's commentary over in Egypt yesterday with all of those world leaders. And I'll just close and end by saying this. It's a tough day to be a liberal. Tough day to be a Democrat. Tough day to be an individual that screams that Trump is a fascist, an authoritarian, a dictator. It's all crumbling in front of your very eyes. The president has brought countries in the Middle East together that do not speak, that do not like each other, to sign on to this peace agreement and to begin working towards, it's not done yet, it won't be done tomorrow, but begin working towards a more stable region in the world. And it's a reason that the Jerusalem Post cover the other day or yesterday talked about Trump being the peacemaker. There's a reason that the headline of that newspaper said, "God bless the peacemaker," with a black and white silhouette of Donald Trump. This was the front page of the Jerusalem Post yesterday, Monday, October the 13th. God bless the peacemaker. And that's what he did. That's what he's hopefully going to continue to do. And that's hopefully what nations throughout the region will continue to do as well. The pearl clutching and the constant outrage from those on the political left here in America about Donald Trump being the worst individual that has ever existed in modern times and how he does nothing but destroy and defeat death and destruction at the hands of Donald Trump. You and I, of course, have known that that is complete and utter hogwash and has been complete and total garbage now for the 10 years that they've been talking about it. But hopefully yesterday was a true wake-up call, a true reality for some on the left, that this constant bitching and complaining and moaning and griping about how terrible and awful Donald Trump is and how nothing he does is good. Hopefully some of those individuals woke up to the reality of that. I don't have a lot of hope that that's the case, but hey, they say you can hope and have dreams. So that's what we're hoping for. Here's a bunch of Democrat responses, none of which Elizabeth Warren, Kathy Hochul, this clown running for governor in Virginia, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, the list goes on, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Mark Warner, Sheree Taheen, Eric Swalwell, all of them talking about how great it was that the hostages were released, yet none of them willing to say just the couple magical words that they need to. Thanks, President Donald Trump. And it really goes to show that regardless of what is done, regardless of what is said, regardless of what even the results are, that the vast majority of those on the political left will refuse to give Donald Trump and the Republicans, whether it's Trump or not, they will refuse to give Trump or Republicans credit for any successes. It is not in their blood to do so. It is not in their talking point or their messaging to do so. And then, of course, these are the first ones that talk about, we need to come back to the center in America. We need to get back to a time where we can all talk and have conversations. Would it have killed Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff to say, great work by President Trump? Would it have killed them to say that? No, it wouldn't have. But they'll be the first ones out on Capitol Hill, probably later today as the government shutdown looms, and tomorrow the interesting day, which is October the 15th, another pay period for federal employees. They will be the first ones out on Capitol Hill griping and complaining about how Donald Trump and the Republicans are destroying our country, destroying democracy, can't do anything right, are causing you to starve your children because you're not getting your paycheck. I mean, these are the first people that will do everything in their power to divide the American public. Yet when they have a layup opportunity on something that across the world, people can objectively look at and say, this is good. I don't know of anybody outside of maybe the far, far fringes of the radical left that don't want peace in the Middle East. Outside of that crowd, everybody across the globe can say the plan that is being worked towards is not only good for the Middle East, but is good for the rest of the world. It is good for the individuals that live in these countries. This is objectively a good thing. And Democrats can't even bring themselves to saying, yeah, this is pretty good. Yeah, got to give the devil his due on this one. Thanks, President Trump. That's all I have to say, but they just won't do it. Yet they will be the ones pointing the finger at me, pointing the finger at you, pointing the finger at Donald Trump, and saying that it's our fault, it's your fault, it's his fault for dividing the American people. It's his fault that politics in the United States is at the fever pitch that it is right now. Yet they can't even objectively give the president credit for what can only be described as a historic day in the Middle East. It's shameful, but unfortunately, folks, it's not unpredictable. I'm not going to sit here and say it's shocking. This is exactly what you have come to expect from those on the radical left. This is exactly what you've come to expect from even mainstream Democrats who just cannot get over their animosity, cannot get over their hatred for Donald Trump, conservatives, and Republicans, and no matter what, refuse to give him credit for anything. I think I mentioned this yesterday morning. I don't know if it was on this show or on the my fill-in on WBT Radio. I'm an equal opportunity political commentator here. When Democrats do something that is objectively good, I have and will continue to give them credit. Now, from my vantage point, there's not a whole hell of a lot that they will do that meets that barrier, that meets that threshold. But if and when they do, I have no problem giving them credit. I am capable, even as a staunch conservative, I am capable at looking at things objectively and saying, that's good. And looking at things objectively and saying, that's bad. When Democrats do things that are good, I have no problem giving them credit. And it is incredibly unfortunate, but albeit not surprising, that those on the left are not willing to do that. So while the energy is very positive right now, and hopefully it stays that way, unfortunately, I would give it just a matter of days before those on the left find some holes, find some cracks in this plan, find a way to try and discredit Trump and all of the other nations throughout the Middle East as to why this won't work or why this is terrible. Just give it a couple of days and we'll be back on that. An absolutely historic day for President Donald Trump. I would argue that no other president, at least in modern American history, would have been capable of doing that. Maybe you look at somebody like Ronald Reagan, but again, when you talk about Reagan, you're going back 40 years. Over the last 20 or 30, there's not another American president that would have been capable of this. Donald Trump was, is, and hopefully now, these other nations, whether it's Pakistan or India, UAE, Egypt, the list goes on. Hopefully they're willing to not only live up to the agreement, but willing to slap their neighbors into line, willing to hold their neighbors accountable, hold their feet to the fire, and make sure that this is followed through on. A major win, not for the administration, a major win for humanitarian causes across the globe, a major win as we approach and hopefully continue to strive for international peace yesterday in the Middle East. If only Democrats could get their head out of their ass and finally give people credit when credit is due, maybe they'd be willing to say that, but no, of course not. That is what you've come to expect from those. So a really miserable day yesterday if you are a radical progressive or even some mainstream Democrats, because it is the worst possible scenario unfolding in front of your very eyes. President Donald Trump is shaking hands, greeting and talking to and agreeing to peace with 20 plus nations within the Middle East. And you have to sit at home and post on X about how great it is that these hostages are released. But you can't give credit to the United States for doing it, because then you'd have to, of course, give credit to the guy with you in which you loathe. That is Donald Trump. So yet again, another terrible day to be a Democrat. Those days continue to, unfortunately, those tick marks continue to add up for those on the left as their animosity and hatred for the president seemingly will continue forever. And there's nothing that he can do that will ever change their mindset or their opinion. So we'll, of course, keep a close eye on what goes on with this 20-point plan in the coming days, weeks, and months. We'll bring you the latest right here on the Nick Craig Show. As I mentioned, tomorrow will be an interesting day as we look at our government shutdown clock this morning. Now into day 14 of the government shutdown. Tomorrow, October the 15th, is supposed to be the next federal government pay period. It is going to be very interesting to watch what goes on today. There are more votes expected in the United States Senate to reopen the government. All indications are that those votes will fail. However, I suspect we'll see a lot of public, a lot of media, a lot of conversation today from those on both sides of the political aisle. I'll be keeping my eye on that throughout the day, and we'll bring you the latest coming up tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition. Thanks to the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. For any legal challenges across southeastern North Carolina, visit them online, lawgroupnc.com, or give them a call at 910-251-6088. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday mornings, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're back here tomorrow morning on The Nick Craig Show.